everybody. Here we are again this week. Joining us on the call are myself, Matt Holker, Greg Millmeyer, and Forrest Obnamia. And our two guys in Florida are not on the call today because they are getting ready for a major hurricane. And our prayers go out to them. And this is Hurricane Dorian that we're talking about. By the time you see this on the members only, this hurricane will have hit, and either we'll be doing some kind of disaster relief, fun driving, helping whatever we can do, or it will not have been as bad as it sounds like it's going to be, and hopefully will not be. All right. So we've got a number of things to get into today. A couple of announcements. We're getting ready for the Michigan workshop. The Michigan workshop is on September the 20th for teachers, that's that Friday, and then September 21st and 22nd for them and everyone else. And Greg, is there anything you want to add about the Michigan workshop for this year?
It's going to be great. No, things are coming together well, so it should be awesome.
Cool. And if you haven't registered yet, please register ahead of time, or at least really make sure that you're on our radar so that we have an idea of how many are coming and all of that, because we do try to make accommodations for things like meals because of the size of the group. When you're at the meals in a workshop like that, I really do want you to pick my ear and to interact with me and the other guys and to do everything you can to get the most out of it. We really are there for you. So, and you'll see that. I will be catering some things that we're teaching this year directly to people who are there that were there last year, because I don't want to duplicate all the material. Of course, we'll have some new people, so there will be some of that, but then I'm going to make sure that everybody comes away with at least something pretty solid that made it worth the time and effort to be there. Okay.
Yeah, and it was a blast last year, so we're expecting it's going to be a lot of fun again this year.
Okay, so then I've got we just completed – actually, a couple announcements. We just completed the level one push hands 5-day workshop, and we had a number of new folks test and their new certified level one internal push hands teachers. And they're spread out all over the country. And we had Rob from Israel, and we had Sheila from Costa Rica. And they're both Rob is officially now a regional organizer for Clear Tai Chi. He's based in Tel Aviv. And Sheila is got one little task that she's working on completing. And as soon as she's done with that, then she will be a regional organizer for Costa Rica. The other person that got their level one this time and is planning on doing some of the other things coming up, including the Qigong, the fog on the energy healing. And that kind of thing is Chad Bailey. Shout out to Chad. And he is an acupuncturist and a massage therapist who actually Tui Na massage, and he knows some other kinds as well. And he actually teaches the Tui Na. And so that has to do with deep tissue kind of work, different kinds. And things that you have to feel in the body, as well as with the acupuncture, the old school true method, you feel the energy on like the pulses, and you actually touch them or you're right next to them, and you feel that. And then depending on what you feel on those, what they call pulses, that will determine what's wrong with the person and how it's wrong with them and what needs to happen to fix that and where the needles need to be placed in order to correct that specific imbalance or lack of flow or the other kinds of issues that can be present. Chad, when he was here, said there are 42 different pulses that he can feel when he's touching somebody. And I did some work with him while we were in the workshop. And I could feel him feeling my pulses, and I could feel the pulse myself when he was checking it. And he actually, in the process, put his hand on my shoulder at one point and said, is the deal with this that if I want a meridian to open because it's kind of closed, that I can basically with my mind go in while I'm touching them. And when he did this, the whole meridian opened up. And of course the answer was yes, that can and does happen. and that eventually, with time and training in it, he'll be able to put his hands on somebody basically almost anywhere, but let's say at the shoulder level, just touching them, you know, like this, and make the entire adjustment through the touch, because he can feel what's going on in the meridians inside and literally adjust through. And he has a sensitivity to do that. Of course, our level one builds a sensitivity to do that. If you're an acupuncturist who's always had trouble with pulse diagnosis or can't get or a little bit of difficulty with a sensitivity, if you do the training that's in the Fagong and in the level one push hands, that sensitivity will skyrocket in terms of your ability. And it's going to change with practice and make it much, much, much more profound and deeper. And you're going to be able to get that much more accuracy in your results. You'll be able to feel and know that you got that accuracy. And it's going to help you to learn how to set your treatment into that body so that it really will make a profound difference in terms of how fast they get help, how much it helps them, and all that kind of stuff. And so Chad is really stoked about that. And he is on our members only now. And when you guys have questions that have to do with medical stuff, I am sure he is one of the folks that will be weighing in on that and is a great resource and a great practitioner of the martial arts as well, if I hadn't added that. So he knows the martial side as well as he knows the healing side. And we are really pleased to have him as part of our membership and part of our group. And will be a great asset to the to our entire network of folks out there doing the internal Tai Chi. So wanted to make sure I had said that. By the way, Rob in Israel is a Krav Maga instructor. He actually teaches now the Clear Defense Method. And then I would let him tell you more about that. And you can talk to him online if you're in Israel, then you know, as long as you can get to Tel Aviv where he's at, you'll certainly want to interact with him. Okay. I've got two other things here. On the Clear Member last week for you guys, this week for us, as we're talking right now, it's been this week. By the time you see this, it will have been a week and a half ago. Paul Shansky put up a question, and that question was to do with folks who have had a concussion and they basically healed from the concussion, but they have like a post or a what's that? Oh, okay. They have a situation where they still have a lot of symptoms and problems from the concussion that's affecting them after the fact. And now they're trying to learn Tai Chi, and of course they're having problems of different kinds, including this is in their whole daily life, walking and doing any kind of activity that involves some intensity of any kind and all of that. And so his question was, what's the best advice for working with these folks? Now, for some medical issues, there are very specific protocol, and everybody basically has towards that same protocol, and so it's basically the same kind of fix. But there are other medical issues, like somebody got a concussion and now that concussion is, they say, healed up, but obviously there's still this trauma that's ongoing from having had that happen. And how do you train them, work with them? How do they train and do the work that's the Tai Chi work and do the health thing and have it not turn into a migraine or other kinds of problems for them? And my answer to that ultimately is going to be, it's a case by case basis. And you're really going to want to have like the Fagong so that you can ideally scan them, feel where things are off or really still greatly affected. A lot of times with different kinds of, in that case, blockages or impeded flow through the body of the energy field. Most acupuncture, this is according to another acupuncturist student that I've got, is trying to make sure that you don't have stagnation through the system, that if you have blockage, that's the greatest problem from a meridian flow, energy flow standpoint that acupuncture is going to look at. And what acupuncture is trying to do is to make sure that flow is continually moving the way that it's supposed to. And so when you get a trauma like that, what happens is you've got something in the system that kind of locked it up or blocked it. And so even if the initial injury is gone, it doesn't mean that the blockage or the effect in the energy isn't still there. And so you should be able to feel that with the fog, with the Qigong Fagong. Everybody that's senior can, and influence and or adjust that, and also get a sense of the impingement or the pressure or the difficulty. So there's that. And then the other thing is they're going to have to take it really easy and try to really just slowly, softly do the work where they're trying to release tension and relax, but still have good structure, and then not overdo it and build it up over time so that they're kind of getting everything back to full working order. But with that, each case is probably going to be somewhat individual, just depending on how that person got hit or where they hit, how the force of that impact went in, what kind of, how deep it went in, and all kinds of other factors like that, you're going to want to at least to some degree address. Go ahead and address. I can hear you wanting to say something with that, Greg. Go ahead.
So I've actually worked with folks with concussions, and I agree it is totally individual. One of the interesting things to me that I found out was getting out the physical trauma was not that hard. Adjusting energy a little bit was not that hard. But because the brain is very soft and it is in the cerebrospinal fluid, and because the brain changes so much by the thoughts that you think and the neural connections and all that kind of stuff, there's a certain amount of, there's going to be a change, and then there's going to be an integration. And you can't really force the integration, that the neural connections and the soft fatty tissue around the neural connections and all that kind of stuff change a little bit. And so in other things, I feel like almost, you know, we can go in there and we can do a ton, and they need a few days to ease it out. With the concussion, my experience has been, it depends on the how and the why, the when and the where. The physical stuff, not too hard to deal with, but the concussion is the brain sloshing through the cerebrospinal fluid and smacking the skull. And so your brain's a bit like Jell-O. So, you know, getting that to repair and all is a different affair than just a musculoskeletal or even an other organ sort of thing. Because other organs still have that tone that's a little more similar to smooth muscle, you know?
So in the Tai Chi push hands level one, one of the skills that we work on is ground path and the lines of force through the body being routed to create new neural pathways. And it may be that you want or need at a certain point in their development and training to do that specific work with somebody like that to help kind of make their connection to the ground better while they're being light, so that the adjustments can kind of take place in there while you're scanning with the fog on to make sure that they've got good flow and no impediment anywhere. And again, I'm saying this very generally because each person is going to be unique in that regard and how they need it and those kind of things, but it is that kind of work to get you there. Any other?
I would throw one more thing in there. One of the people I dealt with was, I'll say, very etheric by nature. So I think of grounded and etheric is sort of like right-handed, left-handed. Little preference, not a problem. Huge preference, not good. She had a very strong preference for etheric. And so one of the things I kept doing was reorganizing that up connection a little bit to help it harmonize and getting more ground. And because she was kind of a little floatier and a little more etheric, that was really important as well as the ground. For somebody else who's a little more grounded or maybe has a less of a strong preference, not a big deal. Yeah. But for her, it was a big thing.
Cool. Yeah, so a good three powers connection.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. Anything else on that, anybody?
I guess I'd just add that the Fagong is, but we're going to be doing that in November. Those are always great workshops. If you've been to one, you know, and you know, most of the people who have come tend to come again, and repeat them. And if you haven't been to one, we'll be doing that again at the end of November, or well, the weekend before Thanksgiving in November here in Tennessee.
Look forward to seeing you there.
And now, a word from our sponsor. For more on the healing power of breath, go to breathhealing.com. Children have an endless supply of energy and vitality. Most adults can access that youthful energy once they know how. Breathhealing.com has methods for self-healing with breath, increasing vitality, lowering blood pressure, and even breathing for longevity. You already breathe all day, every day. Make the most of it. Go to breathhealing.com.
Okay. Let's see here. So I've got here a thing about, for the other thing we wanted to talk about today, practicing Tai Chi skills with an eye towards mastery and how to practice with the volume of material that there is in the curriculum, and realize that the material in the internal push hands and in the internal Tai Chi, in the intermediate classes, these are full curriculums. And so like any curriculum, ideally you take the class one or the first part and you really get that understood. And then you go to the part two and you get that really well understood. And then you go to part three. And so, and then with that, like on the push hands, level one, somebody looking at it would go, well, really, this is all supposed to happen at the same time. Yes, in the play, in the actual use, it's the whole thing. But how do you, so you do that in the, however you originally got it. And if you're somebody who's learning from one of our folks that's come in and been certified in the push hands level one, then ideally that's you're learning where they're actually taking the test for it, running you through the test, taking page 19 and running you through the first half of that, and maybe the page 19 stuff first, and then the test. And they're making sure that you have all those skills individually in the way that they are on the test. Then once they're done with that, you take the book and you start in the beginning and work them through, pushing hands some where everything's going on every time, but then working on, and this is also, if you've had the course, you do the same thing. You review the test item by item and get good at it. Make sure that you've done page 19, the top two thirds there. It's stuff. You make sure you've got all of that like that, and then you make sure you're playing some where it is all together. And then you start at the beginning of the book, and you go through, and the first time you hit an item, and you go, okay, I've had the training. I basically know what that is, but I'm not good at that at all yet. Then you work that in isolation and get good at it, and then you integrate it when you're playing all the time so that for a while you'll kind of emphasize that pretty heavily, and you'll be doing the whole thing. And then you go to the next, once that's done, you go to the next skill. You really work that. You make sure that's getting heavy emphasis in your push hands, even though all the other things are happening, including the last skill that you put that kind of time into. And with that, your practice will build and build and build and build and build. At some point, you'll be through all of that. And as you keep seeing a lot of people who've seen the push hands level one, three, four times, their skill is massively more and better than it was when they came in to level one the first time and maybe didn't know any of it. But still a big jump in their skill and ability because it integrates differently because they've already got some skill with it. And now you see things in a different light and you take it in a different way and you build on top of what you already understand. And you're isolating again, but with the specific instruction or work that you're getting with a partner who's doing the same thing. And then when you're playing it overall, you're emphasizing the different parts that you were good at. You figured out other things you need to add in there, and you actually are getting boosted ability and skill out of parts that you didn't put as much emphasis on before. And it kind of hits you differently like that. And so I'm telling you, practice each individual part, build the skill in that, and then play a little bit each time where you're getting the whole thing, where it's all going on, even though you might be emphasizing whatever you're kind of working on at the moment. Any other thoughts on that or anything to add to that or any comments or questions?
I just pitch in that I don't know if I've been to the level one four times or five times, but a fair number. And the immersion, the fact that you're doing that much that for that long, and exactly what Sifu said in terms of you're getting another view of it, you're getting a chance to feel it again. Anytime you can touch the skill or touch another person, it's huge. So, you know, the push hands level one, still get stuff out of come again, come again. Same with Fogong, actually.
Yeah. And also your Tai Chi intermediate. You know, when you're on our online curriculum, if you're seriously going to study it, start at the beginning, take the first skill in the intermediate on lesson one or class one, do the first one, make sure you got that going on, then do the second one and make sure you've got that going on. And don't just kind of superficially get it and kind of skip around. It's going to be really hard to pick up skill like that. Now, if you're working on your deeper, more stuff and you hit a place where you're running into some kind of an issue and you know, or you feel something from somebody else and you go, okay, that's some kind of spiraling or some kind of magnetic or some kind of alignment thing or like that, then I would be more likely to recommend, okay, in the intermediate curriculum, that's here, 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 and here throughout the classes. Go take a look at that because you're in a place in your own development to kind of take that in a little better and differently and all that stuff. But then for ongoing study, just like class, do it like that where you go to the whatever lesson. And if you're following along on the members only on Facebook, take the one that we put up there, the new one, click that, work that skill. And when we do it next week, do the same thing. And then you're tracking along with us here in Maryville, Tennessee, doing that. So if you have questions, it's something we just worked on or we're working on now. It'll benefit everybody. And you're working the skill week by week, focused in on the thing so that you're really able to acquire the skill.
Okay. I can say one thing on this sort of training. Obviously what Greg said of, you know, go to the workshops because that's where you're really focused on it for 5 days. And you go through everything systematically and you cover everything in that time period. Fantastic. I can say for me, I've been fortunate. I've been working with Alicia, my girlfriend, and she's new to everything, but she's picking it up. And I was just on the phone with Sifu yesterday, and he was talking about this idea of go to page 19, get that stuff, look at the test, go line by line there, and then you can look at the whole program and go through that. Kind of the high level structure, but that's a lot of material. And so what's been working, yesterday we looked at the test. I was like, okay, Alicia, what on here is something maybe you're foggy on or want to know more about? She picked out insubstantial and substantial in the hips and legs. So I was like, okay, I'll have to show you some stuff there. And I showed her how to empty out the legs and then fill it up with the energy. Mm-hmm. And that whole exercise took about maybe 10, 15 minutes, but then she was able to feel it in me, recreate it in her own body. And then she got that. And then we were kind of like, okay, we need a break here. But that was like a good 20 minutes and major upgrade in that progress. So it's a lot of material. I think if you just try and do like at least one thing a day, you're going to be making a lot of progress. And then use the workshops for that like really hardcore.
And the reason you didn't start from the beginning is because she's already got some time in that material. If she didn't have anything yet, you would have started her on item one.
Absolutely. So this was great. Yeah, she's been looking at this for a few months now. So we were able to jump into something a little more complex, and she was able to get it quickly.
Cool. Matt? Yeah. Matt?
Yes, sir.
Oh, anything to add to any of this?
Yeah, the workshops are great, and I always see, this last push hands workshop, this last level one was my sixth level one push hands workshop, and I always see big improvements on my skills every time I do them. There's always more to get, but it's really important to work on it when you're not doing it intensively like that. When you're not doing those kinds of hardcore tune-ups all at once, to really work on individual skills and focus on one piece at a time. I have found that's the best way to really incorporate it into kind of what I can do when I'm raising my baseline of, you know, what I'm really able to do, like at kind of the drop of a hat, that doesn't come as much from the workshops as it does from just really, really honing in on the individual skills and really owning them before you really move on. And there's always more to learn, and there's always layers, and you're always going to come back and revisit things with new eyes. And that's one of the things that I love about Tai Chi, but really get each piece kind of as much as you can going on its own, and, you know, focus in on it. And you'll see huge, huge benefits from doing that. You know, in your daily practice, just pick a thing and work on it, and work on it against other things, work on it against that thing itself, you know, work on it, in your form.
You and your partner are both doing the same thing and you're competing for who's got the better, whatever it is.
Yeah. And then, you know, use that to work on the skill within your form and in your solo training, and just really, really own each piece of the material, because it's really, really easy. You know, I think it's been said, but, you know, it's really easy for people to get a little bit of skill, and compared to people who have no skill, they think they've got it going on. And, you know, no, there's all of these things, even though there's a lot of them, it's not just a lot of surface level stuff that gets put together to make Tai Chi. Each one of those skills goes so, so, so deep. And if you really want to call yourself a Tai Chi guy, you got to follow each one of those rabbit holes. And you know, the only way to do that is to just put some dedicated time into each piece of the puzzle.
Yep. And I would say Tai Chi person.
Tai Chi person. Yes. Tai Chi person.
Yeah. Lots of ladies.
Tai Chi players.
So Tai Chi guy or lady. Okay.
Tai Chi guy or lady. Yes.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Okay. Was there anything else either one of you had for our audience today, or?
I would just say, one like easy technique that I do that seems to really help is anytime I'm like standing there or maybe trying out a move and there happens to be someone else, maybe it's someone I know, typically it is, I'll be like, hey, push me here. See if you can find, and like, I try to get like every opportunity to get someone to see where I'm weak at. And then I try to fix that. Yeah. And just doing that over and over and over in different units of time, that adds up. So take advantage of that if you have some.
It's good practice. That is also part of what you want to be doing. Yep. Cool. All right, guys, that's kind of what I had. Was there anything on any other topic here that, for our group, that you wanted to get into? Or if not, that's what I got for today.
No, sir. I'm good.
All right.
I'm good too. I got some good stuff out of this, so thank you.
Cool. Hey, everybody, keep up the great work and post any comments or questions or anything below the video here in the comments for the on the thread or on the post for, you know, on the members only. And or things you'd like to see us talk about, and we'll put it into play for you in future editions. And have a great week. And again, hoping that the people in Florida do well and don't get hurricaned, and all that stuff, and come through this okay. So, all right, you guys have a great week.
All right, bye guys.
Bye. Thanks, everybody.
And now a word from our sponsor.
The internal power that comes at the higher levels of Tai Chi can seem mysterious, but that is mostly because Tai Chi students don't see the big picture yet. They don't even understand what the higher levels of the art are, much less have a plan to get there. Even though the senior masters mostly agree on what the steps are, they mostly don't talk about it. On the TaiChiRoadmap.com, I outline all of the steps of Tai Chi development. Everything is explained so you know what to do, when to do it, and why. This is the complete roadmap to Tai Chi mastery, with an explanation of all the steps from rank beginner to senior master. Again, that is a free course that you can access online. Go to TaiChiRoadmap.com to sign up. That's TaiChiRoadmap.com.